Hello, everyone. Happy evening. Good to see you all. The Pueblo family that Dove was talking about had NTI study this morning out on the deck, and then we went to the Colorado State Fair. We've only been home a few minutes, but we went and looked at the pigs and the cows and the roosters and the rabbits, right? Listened to some bluegrass, ate some fair food, including fried dough. Here's Bill's coming to see who's in the room. So there's Donna. She just got home, but she was with us at the fair today.
Hi, everyone.
So we had a nice time at the fair, and I think everybody, I don't know how everybody's belly feels. Mine feels a little overstuffed. I had a gyro and then a snow cone. I think it was a snow cone that did it because it was humongous. But we had a good time. So now they're probably all going to fall asleep while I'm teaching. They got full bellies and they were in the sun walking around all afternoon. But yeah, we're here for Holy Spirit Guides. And we are up to April 2007. And as I'm looking at the room, Monica is here and Wayne is here. I think that they may be the ones most familiar with the story that I'm about to tell, although they weren't familiar with it yet in April of 2007. But this is really when I met Laurent. You guys remember him, right? I did not meet him in person in April of 2007. He was just some crazy guy in France who emailed me wanting help, and I went within and asked for guidance, and Spirit gave me an answer to send to him. And tonight what we're going to do, the very next message that we're looking at is that message that came through for Laurent. This, of course, was before I had any idea that he and I would be meeting, that we would join in relationship, that any of that would happen. But that's why I said tonight is the beginning of a new story, because this really is the beginning. Laurent emailed me in April. We met in May. By June, we were beginning to receive guidance to join, and by August, we did join. And then the many messages that I think Wayne and Monica are familiar with, the 60 messages or so that came while Laurent and I were together, those started at the end of August. So really, we're going to be looking at all of those messages again. There are a few others that we're going to have between April and the August messages, but only a few. For the most part, we are beginning the series of messages that were given to Regina and Laurent. So what I would like to do is begin with a prayer like I always do. Hey, Adele. So if you guys would join me, I would appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for all things. And right now I feel particularly guided to share my gratitude for your guidance. We are like children lost in a dark room, and we need your guidance to lead us from the darkness to the light, to feel that we do not need the guidance of a Holy Spirit is truly foolishness. However, at the same time, I do want to say that the word Holy Spirit is simply a symbol for that which guides us, and people from other traditions may use other words. But that which guides us is clearly something different than the little self, the person, the thinking that has led us before. It's something else, with a capital E, something wiser, something that knows, something that leads us in a direction so that we are the follower, the learner, the listener. And we need this guidance. in order to be led from the darkness, from the confusion, from the illusion, into the light, the clarity, and the truth. Spirit, I am incredibly grateful for your guidance. I'm also grateful that guidance is individualized in order to capture the attention and the commitment of each of us as we seem to be individuals. I recognize that we are beginning a new series of messages, the messages given to Regina and Laurent. And I know that the tone, the delivery, the approach of these messages were different than the messages that were given to Regina alone. And that is because the audience had changed. And as the audience changed, your guidance changed, and yet your guidance did not change at all. It was only the form, but the content is always the same. Thank you for shifting and changing the form in order to be most helpful to us. Let us not be confused and think that there are truly many paths. The many paths are actually simply different forms, different symbols of the same one path home. Let us be grateful that it is given in many ways so that we can all walk together toward awakening. Amen. All right. So let me give you a link to the first message we're going to look at. As I mentioned, this was a message that was written for Laurent before he and I met. I'm laughing at Cliff Nick. I read, I mean amen, so I had to look up to see what he'd written before, and it's just a typo, but it cracked me up. It doesn't really say anything, but it cracked me up. All right. The coffee cup was in his way, he says. Okay. For those of you who know Laurent, the story I'm about to tell is probably familiar. For those of you who do not know Laurent, it's probably a completely new story, which is always lots of fun. When he first wrote to me, I'll be honest, I didn't quite know what to think of him. That's the God's honest truth. He wrote me about an experience he'd had, and he wrote me in some detail, although I don't remember the specific detail of what he shared now, but it was clear that he had had an experience that I think it lasted around 4 months. A very high mystical experience that lasted for quite a while. It was an experience that was similar to awakening, although it wasn't quite awakening or actual awakening. But it was so close that it left him knowing there was a different way to perceive, there was a different way to think, a different way to feel, a different way to know. This experience taught him, and then the experience ended. And the backlash, I guess, is the way it really seemed to him. The backlash was that after having this magnificent experience for such a long period of time, it was as if he was plunged into deep, deep suffering. Because then he became aware of the absence of that experience, I guess you would have to say. And he seemed to suffer over things that, over thoughts in his mind that maybe other people would just take as normal thoughts and not suffer over, right? But because he had experienced this mystical high, this enlightened-like mind, when his mind returned to the ego mind, it was extremely painful for him, and more painful than it had been in the first place. So the poor man was plunged into hell. And this is what led him to write to me. I would say that at that point in time, he was feeling desperate for help. Yeah, heightened sensitivity, Charles is writing, heightened sensitivity. And at this point, he was feeling desperate for help because he didn't know what to do. He wanted to return to that experience, and he didn't know how to get there, and he felt trapped and entangled in his ego. Entangled is a great expression of how he felt. He belonged to a course group in Paris, a small course group. He had actually recently just joined this course group. And the course group also read the writings from ReginaDonAkers.com. And so when he joined this course group, a member of the group suggested that Laurent go and read the writings on ReginaDonAkers.com. And the first message that he read was one that we looked at a couple weeks ago about the observer role. And he felt very much that he was reading something pure. That was always a word Laurent used to describe the messages from Spirit as they came through me, pure. He felt he was reading something pure, and he wanted to access that purity in order to receive the help that he felt he needed, but he did not feel at that time that he could access through himself. So this is why he wrote to me. He wrote to me because he wanted help, pure help, help that he felt was pure. So he wrote and he told me about his experience, and he also told me about some of the thoughts that he was having, which were really not, they were not at all, in the world we would not classify them as evil thoughts, right? I mean, for example, he was noticing attraction to women, and he's a man, these are kind of thoughts we might think are normal. But like I said, after his enlightened mind experience, the ego mind tortured him. And the ego, of course, was always judging him for everything, always judging him. He was, we all know what this can be like, I think, at some point. He was the worst of the worst, right? This is what his ego would say. He was the worst of the worst. It's another form of specialness, isn't it? But I think we've all seen it maybe at some point or another. So he was writing and talking about this, and he asked for help. And to be honest, at that point, again, from now I'm going to be describing my ego reaction, because my first reaction to him was an ego reaction. He seemed so confused that the feeling, the ego feeling in me, was that there was no way to help this guy. And that actually was a good thing, because then I didn't try and answer him from my ego. That thought actually led me to completely surrender, right? Completely surrender. And Spirit gave an answer. And so that's what I'm about to read you, is the answer that Spirit gave to him. I've given you the link, but I will give you the link again. There you go. So, at the beginning, I just wrote a shorter version of the story I just told you. I said at the beginning in blue of this link, it says, many people seem to have these wonderful experiences of light that come over them unexpectedly and can last for many months. They seem to live in the real world for a time, and it is glorious. But then the experience ends, and they find themselves searching for a way back. One person who is in this situation wrote to me this morning asking for help. I asked Holy Spirit what to share, and the following message was given. It is a powerful and succinct message that contains many primary Holy Spirit themes. I share it with everyone because I know it is helpful to all of us. All right, so this is the message. The work to heal the mind is conscious work, because the ego operates within consciousness. Now that's an important opening line. And the reason that's an important opening line is because lots of times after people have had these high mystical experiences, especially the ones who seem to have these experiences that last for months, there's something in them then that's looking for what I'm going to call a magic pill. not really a pill, but something magic almost that will take them very quickly back to that experience. Without having to go through the forgiveness process, the forgiveness work that most of us expect to have to go through, right? Because they've been there and they want to return quickly. So Spirit is starting right off in this message, turning the mind away from the idea of the magic pill or the magic answer, to the thought that there's going to be some work that needs to be done now. All right, so it's as if these experiences that some people have are, I call them an invitation to awaken. But then because the ego has not been let go, the work has not been done, the experience must end, and that leaves the person with the work that needs to be done. So the invitation has been given, and now the work needs to happen. And so Spirit is pointing that out. The work, notice work is the second word in the message. The work to heal the mind is conscious work, because the ego operates within consciousness. Your prior experience was a breakthrough of light into a consciousness of darkness. It was an experience that came upon you through your willingness, as it could not have come in any other way. But because you have not yet willed to let go of darkness, the experience could only be temporary. You must experience everything that is in your mind because you will it to be there for the purpose of experience. Now, this is also important. Of course, at this point when this message came, I did not know Laurent personally yet. He was just some guy in France. I'm here, Clara. You're asking for the link. Here it is. But of course, later I did get to know him better. And I realized that there were certainly thoughts that were in Laurent's mind that he was afraid to look at. And really, you know, Laurent is only an example of all of us, right? A sample of all of us. There are ideas in our mind that we are afraid to look at. And as long as we're afraid to look at those ideas, they remain unconscious. And yet, they drive us, right? They are there. They're there in the mind, and they're driving us, and they're a part of the choices we're making and the experience we're having. And what Spirit is saying in this paragraph is that we cannot awaken without looking at these ideas. There just isn't a way to do that. We need to look at these ideas because we willed them to be in the mind in the first place. And so we must look at these ideas and realize that they're not ideas we want to continue to be attached to. And Spirit is saying that in this particular case, because he's speaking to Laurent, he's saying, you have not done this. Now, later, when I got to know Laurent, in May, when I met Laurent, he told me, he gave me a great symbol of how this spoke to him. He said it was as if he lived in a building, and I can't remember what floor he imagined he lived in. Maybe he lived in the fifth floor of the building. And his experience had been like he had gotten in an elevator and gone all the way to the penthouse, right? And it was great. And now he's back on the fifth floor again. But he can't really return to the penthouse until he goes down into the basement, is the way he said it. He understands that. In order to go back to the penthouse and stay there, he needs to go down into the basement and clean out the basement. And what he has been wanting to do is to avoid everything below the fifth floor. And that's a perfect image of what Spirit is saying here. So the experience of the penthouse could only be temporary, because there are some things that are hidden in the mind that need to be unhidden and then seen with the light, right? Okay, so the next paragraph, then the third paragraph of this message. In order to return to the experience of light as a permanent experience, you must be willing to let go of the experience of something other than light. This requires more than wishing. At a conscious level, this requires work, which is the mental act of consistent willing. Now, what's interesting here is that Holy Spirit has defined work. We were told in the beginning that this will require work. And now we have a definition of work. It is the mental act of consistent willing. We might also call that consistent choosing. Or yeah, Donna, you're typing it in, but I had the same thought that you typed in. He's talking about consistency, right? Consistency. You know, Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles that the last lesson he learned, do you hear that? Last. The last lesson he learned was to listen to only one voice. Which means even Jesus was not consistent until he learned that final lesson, whenever that lesson was learned. All right? So what Spirit is saying is that is the work. The work is learning to be consistent. The work is learning to keep our mind always with God, always with our true desire, always with our purpose. That is the work. The Course would call this mind training, or yeah, vigilant, being vigilant for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is another term that comes to mind. So none of this is new. You know, none of this information is new. But it's very helpful for us to understand the importance of this message. Because most of us, if not all of us, are not yet 100% consistent. And as long as we are not yet 100% consistent, it doesn't even matter if we're 97% consistent. As long as we're not yet 100% consistent, then we still have the opportunity to learn more consistency, right? And that's the work, being more consistent, keeping our mind only with God, learning to listen to only one voice, right? Never forgetting our purpose, or as Bill would say, always being in awareness. Different words for the same idea. All right? And he says this requires more than wishing, which means that we all have the ability, we maybe even all are aware of the experience, of wishing that our mind was more godlike or more focused on God, but then yet at the same time, you know, the day begins and our mind gets distracted by whatever and we forget to keep our mind there. So he says this takes more than wishing. It actually takes work, which is the mental act of consistent willing. It's always bringing our mind back to that. If we notice that our mind has wandered away, that our mind has become distracted, we don't want to make the mistake of judging ourselves for that. But when we notice that we have moved away from our purpose, we want to, in that moment that we notice, gently come back. And that's what we do. That's how we do it. It's the work. Every time we notice that we have strayed, we come back. And if we do that, every time we notice that we have strayed, we come back, what's going to happen naturally is that we are going to remain focused, remain in purpose, remain in awareness more and more and more. It's a natural outcome. So that is the work, the mental act of consistent willing, right, to keep our mind with God. Now, Spirit continues in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph of this message. The obstacle to doing the work is fear. And again, this is true for all of us, but it's interesting. The message was written for Laurent, and maybe Laurent was even a little more aware of that. Maybe he was aware that fear was his greatest obstacle, where some of us may deny that. Some of us may say, no, it's not fear, it's my job, or it's something else. But Spirit is actually saying that, you know, Laurent's perception of the obstacle is a correct perception. Although this message is written to Laurent, I guarantee you that Laurent is no different from us. This is true for all of us. The obstacle to doing the work is fear. It's not our job, it's not our children, it's not our relationship, it's not our lack of job, lack of children, or lack of relationship. It's fear. But then he continues. He says, the obstacle to doing the work is fear. But this is a bit of a joke when seen from the perspective of light. Because fear itself is nothing. And so it cannot be a real obstacle. Fear is simply thought within the mind, which can be willed away through work. So what that means is, if we have resistance or fear in the mind, a thought may come into the mind to do something, you know, depending on what our current practice is. A thought may come into the mind to be still for a couple of minutes, or a thought may come into the mind to say the course workbook lesson, or a thought may come into the mind to do a mantra. A thought may come into the mind to pray to spirit and ask for help, you know, something along those lines. And if we are resistant, another thought may come into the mind saying, I can't do that now because I'm too busy to be still for a couple of minutes. Or another really popular thought that comes into the mind is, that doesn't do any good. You know, like if the thought comes into the mind, do your mantra now, the next thought is, that doesn't do anything. And it stops you from doing the mantra. So these ideas that come into the mind are coming from fear in order to keep us from doing this practice, this mental act of consistent willing, right? And if we listen to these ideas, if we say, I'm too busy, or if we agree that saying the mantra doesn't work and therefore we don't do it, or whatever, yes, excuse comes into the mind, if we buy into that, we are buying into that. We are believing that. And what Spirit is pointing out is that those ideas, which are obstacle to the practice, are just thoughts. They're thoughts that we are agreeing to put our belief to. But we do not have to make that agreement. I mean, literally, the conversation within the head could go something like this. The thought comes in that says, sit down, be still now. The next thought comes in, I'm too busy to be still. Then we can answer that thought, that is just resistance, that is just fear. I want to be still. And we make the decision to go over and take 2 minutes to be still, or whatever the guidance was in the moment. But what we have to do in order to do that is, we have to see that that second thought that came is just a thought. It's just a thought. It's not a truth. It's not a truth that I'm too busy. It's not a truth that doing the mantra doesn't work. You know, these things are not truths. And I talk to enough people on the phone that I do know that there are still a lot of people who, if this thought comes into the mind, I'm too busy, or that's not going to work anyway, I know that there are people who are listening to these ideas as if they're truths. And Spirit is saying they are not. Fear is simply thought within the mind, which can be willed away through work. Again, we are being asked to be consistent. We are being asked to remember what we want and not be swayed from that purpose by any other idea. So any idea that comes into the mind that tries to turn our attention away from the practice, those are the ideas that we say no to. We say yes to the practice. Holy Spirit continues, the work can also be called decision by faith. One must look at thoughts in the mind and ask, and I think really Laurent loved this paragraph, if I remember correctly. One must look at thoughts in the mind and ask, is this thought the light and love and joy that I seek? If the answer is no, the thought must be let go through decision by faith. You make the decision not to believe the thought and not to listen to it through faith that it isn't true. This may seem difficult at first because some of the thoughts may seem very true to you. But this is why I call it work. And this is why I say it is done through faith. So again, imagine that a thought is given into the mind. A thought comes into the mind that says, say your mantra, right? That in some way the thought says that, say your mantra. And then another thought comes into the mind, that's bullshit, that never works. All right? Well, what Spirit is saying is test it. The thought that says, that's bullshit, it never works, literally. Is that thought the light and love and joy that I seek? It only takes a second to test that thought. You can tell that when that thought came into the mind, there was a feeling, maybe a feeling of being defeated, maybe a feeling of being the one loser who will never awaken, right? There was a feeling. Was that the light and love and joy that we seek? It was not. When that thought came into the mind, it was not light, love, or joy. Spirit says, if the answer is no, then let that thought go through decision by faith. You make the decision not to believe the thought and not to listen to it through faith that it isn't true. Because any thought that is not light and love and joy is not true. So those thoughts that we have that tell us what losers we are, how awful we are, right? They're not true. And if you run them through this test, you will see that they do not pass. Now again, Spirit says it may be difficult at first to let go of these thoughts, to believe they are not true. And that's because we have given them our belief. The Spirit also says, that's why I call it work. If we have given our belief to these thoughts that tell us what losers we are, in whatever language they speak that, or if we have projected our unworthiness and the thoughts tell us what losers others are, or another form of projection, what losers others think we are, right? If we have been giving our belief to these thoughts, they seem true to us. And anybody who's in touch with their unworthiness or has become in touch with their unworthiness knows that at first, that seems like your truth. And it takes great faith, great willingness, and even great courage to say no to those thoughts. Spirit says, that's why I call it work. And that's why I say it is done through faith. And yet Spirit is not saying, I know it's hard, don't bother. Spirit is saying, I know it's hard. Do it anyway. Because Spirit realizes this is where our salvation is. This is the way out. If we continue to believe the thoughts of judgment that come into our mind, we will not awaken. We will not return to the penthouse and stay there forever. So I know it's hard, but yeah, do it anyway. So I'm going to read that paragraph again. The work can also be called decision by faith. One must look at thoughts in the mind and ask, is this thought the light and love and joy that I seek? You can do that with any thought. Any thought. A thought about the traffic. A thought about your spouse. A thought about your parents. A thought about yourself. A thought about the weather. Right? Any thought. Is this thought the light and love and joy that I seek? If the answer is no, the thought must be let go through decision by faith. You make the decision not to believe the thought and not to listen to it through faith that it isn't true. This may seem difficult at first because some of the thoughts may seem very true to you. But this is why I call it work, and this is why I say it is done through faith. And yet Charles wrote, the Holy Spirit knows the power of our decision. And that is a very, very true statement, Charles. And that's why Holy Spirit is coaching us to use our power of decision, right? Holy Spirit continues, since fear is the greatest obstacle to the work, fear thoughts may come into the mind to stop you from doing the work. A fear thought may say, if you let this thought go, you are foolish, or you will be hurt. Or it may provide some other fear-based reason for not doing the work. This is a thought that you must do the work on. Look at this thought and ask, is this the light, love, and joy that I seek? You will see clearly that it is not, and then you must make the decision through faith to let that thought go so that you may continue the work. Now again, I did not know Laurent yet, but as I got to know him, I saw that his mind was very good at saying things to him that would get in the way of the work. You know, during the time that I was with Laurent, we received approximately 60 messages. And the way Laurent described it is that each message would work for about a day, maybe two. And then ego would throw some thought at him that would jam, you know, just like you jam a frequency. It would jam the ability for him to continue to practice that came in the last message. And it looks like Spirit knew this about Laurent. And so Spirit was telling him right up front, even before we knew this whole relationship was going to happen and we knew all these messages were going to come, Spirit was telling him that there were going to be thoughts that would come into the mind to guide him not to do the work, not to do the practice, not to follow the guidance, and that he needed to be alert to these thoughts, and he needed to do the work on them. And by doing the work on them, we mean ask the question, is this the light, love, and joy that I seek? And if not, let it go. So what Spirit was pointing to was the idea that Laurent was willing to believe obstacle thoughts. And of course, like I said, I'm guessing he's not the only one. I have a friend here who at least at one time, I don't know that she still does, but at one time a thought that would come into her mind was, I can't. You know, I would suggest a practice and her mind would say, I can't. And she believed that thought. And it was because of the belief and the thought that she couldn't. Not because I can't is true. Because of the belief in I can't. Yeah, and I have a friend typing in right now. Oh, yes, I have that one. These are the types of thoughts Spirit is talking about. These are resistance thoughts that come from fear to keep us from practicing. And if you have the I can't thought, then you know that the feeling that comes with that thought is not the light and love and joy that you seek. And so this is a thought that must be let go. And like Spirit is saying, I know it's hard. The reason it's hard is because you've believed this to be true about you. You've accepted it as a truth. But the fact that you've accepted it as a truth does not mean that it is a truth. So sometimes, for some of us, the place where we need to start the practice is by looking at the thoughts that are direct obstacles to the practice. What thought comes into my mind that I just, without even questioning it, believe as true, and therefore I do not follow the practice or the guidance that I've been given? What thought comes into the mind that, without even questioning it, I accept as a fact, and therefore it stops me from even trying the practice or the guidance that has been given to my attention? Spirit is asking us to start our forgiveness practice there, because those thoughts must be cleared away. Again, if it is not the light and love and joy that we seek, it is not true. This is what Spirit says. Sometimes it comes down to questioning, who am I going to believe, me or Spirit? If the thought comes into the mind, I can't. Spirit says anything that is not the light or love or joy that I seek is not true. Who do I believe, me or Spirit? Am I willing to try? Am I willing to jump over the obstacle of that thought and do the practice anyway? I was talking to a friend the other day who often the guidance that comes into his mind is to do a mantra. I don't know what his mantra is, but he has a mantra, and the guidance that comes into his mind is to do the mantra. And then the thought that comes next is, those mantras don't work. And so he doesn't do the mantra. The thought is keeping him from doing the practice. Let's see, I had another friend tell me a thought the other day. Let me see if I can remember his thought, because it was a similar kind of thing. Oh, I don't remember. Maybe it will come to me. But I like to share these examples because it might trigger in you a thought that you have not yet noticed is stopping you from doing the work. So I like to share the specific examples when I can. Okay, here's somebody sharing her own thought. Let's look at it. That's good. Her thought is, you don't have to do the practice because HS will use whatever you do anyway. Yeah. You know, just watch for the thoughts that are stopping you. Those are the thoughts you want to do the work on, right? Watch for the thoughts that are stopping you, that keep you from doing your mantra, keep you from sitting down and praying, keep you from doing your course lesson, keep you from doing whatever you know you are supposed to be doing now. And those are the thoughts that you need to look at. Now, Holy Spirit ends this message by saying, I urge you to do the work consistently. See it as your job. See it as your role here now. Now, again, I did not know Laurent at all at this time, so I did not know that at this point he was not working, and that one of the big guilt trips in his mind was that he was not working, right? He was a man in his 40s, not working. Come on, we all know what society has to say about that, don't we? not only that, but his father was certainly echoing the idea that there was something very unworthy about a man in his 40s who is not working, right? Well, notice what Spirit says to him. I urge you to do the work consistently. See it as your job. And of course, what we did not know is that, you know, very soon Laurent was going to be picked up and moved away from Paris and brought to live with me for a year and a half. And he needed to be available to do that, didn't he? Work may have been another obstacle to that. If he had had a job and the guidance had come to come and live with me for a year and a half, then the ego may have used, you can't do that, you have a job, right? He needed to be free and available for what was going to happen. But instead of accepting the fact that he was free and available at that time, he chose to judge himself. Right? Spirit is asking him to let go of that judgment. Practicing forgiveness is your job. Watching the mind is your job. See it as your role here now. Now, I am noticing the comment that work is an obstacle, and I'm seeing agreement with that comment. But I'm not going to say that that is true. If we are currently working and we have not been guided to leave those jobs, then that's because that's where we are supposed to be. That is our schoolhouse. You know, the error that Laurent was making was that he was not working and he was judging that. But it's the same error to be working and to judge that. The error is to judge the circumstance that has been given. Okay, the error is to judge the circumstance that has been given. When I was working before, actually I do work now, by the way. I work very hard, and anybody who is around watching me will know that. But when I had the traditional job before, okay, I had the same thought that my job was an obstacle, and I wanted to not work so that I could focus all of my time on mind watching, as if working didn't allow that. And it did not work out at that time that I could leave my job. And I got one day very frustrated with Holy Spirit for not letting me leave. And I asked Spirit, why do I have to stay here? Out of frustration, right? Why do I have to stay here? And the answer came into my mind as a song. And the answer was, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, right? New York, New York is the name of the song. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And that's when I realized that my job was my schoolhouse. And in fact, shortly after that, I went to a meeting where I sat around with my peers. There were about 40 people at the management director level, director, senior staff level of my company. And we would get together once a month for what we called leadership meetings. And I looked around the table at those 40 faces, and I realized that I only liked about one or two of them, that I did not like any of those people. Because I had worked with them for 9 years, and over 9 years there had been many business battles, and grievances had built up. And I realized that Spirit was right. This was my forgiveness work, you know, my forgiveness schoolhouse. You know, this is where I needed to practice what I was learning. And I proceeded to do that. And by the time I left that place, I was happy there. And I honestly could have stayed there. In fact, there were little nostalgic tears leaving. And in fact, I went back and visited that place like a year ago. And even as I was walking up to the front door, I felt that same nostalgia of, oh, I loved it here. And the truth is I did, but not until the very end. I hated going into that place, and I didn't like those people. And that's exactly why it was a perfect place for me to be as I learned to practice forgiveness. I needed to watch my mind there. Right? Because it wasn't the people. It wasn't the situations. It wasn't the problems and the challenges at work. It was my thoughts about those things. It was my mind. And like Spirit said, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And actually, Danielle recently mentioned that to me about her job. She said that she has been wanting out of her job. And recently she realized that she wants to stay there for now. And she used those exact same words. She said, because I realized if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. And then I told her my story, that was the guidance I had received. So let's not get the idea that to not work is bad. That's an error. And let's not get the idea that to work is bad. That's an error. Let's realize that we each have individual guidance, and that wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, that's where we're supposed to be right now. And let's just keep practicing, right? Every thought that crosses the mind, that guy is an asshole. Wait a minute. Is this the love and light and joy that I seek? Well, then it must not be true. He's an asshole. Bill said, he's a what? Right? This job is impossible. Okay? Is that the light and love and joy that I seek? If not, then it must not be true. You see, this works with every single solitary thought. All right? I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share or say. We have about 8 minutes left. Here we go. Yeah, here's another guidance song. You're going to make it after all. Yippee, Jacqueline says. You're going to make it after all. Yeah, there are some great songs, aren't there, that really help us along this path, that really communicate Holy Spirit's message to us. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to look and see what our next message is. I was doing a lot of blogging during this period of time rather than listening to Spirit every day, and I don't really feel like reading all the blogs, so I'm going to skip ahead and see what I come to. And I think it looks too long to read in 8 minutes. It's called Clearing the Mind and Acting Only on Guidance. Here is the link. Clearing the Mind and Working Only on Guidance, but I really don't feel like I want to start it. And I feel like there was a song I did want to play, only right this second it's not jumping out at me what it was. So hold on a second. Let's see. Oops, things are going to fall. There's going to be crashes. Lots of noise. Hey, Jamie. I have no idea what the song was. There was a song that crossed my mind recently that I thought, you know, sometime when I get time, I want to play this song and gather. But right now it's not crossing my mind. The CD could be in the car or something. That could be why. But as I was flipping through the CDs that I have right here in front of me, Jody Ebeling's CD jumped out at me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play a little bit of Jody Ebeling. The very first song on this Jody Ebeling CD that I have in front of me is called I Choose Heaven. So I'm going to play that because I feel like that's what Spirit has been asking us to do, is choose heaven by literally only choosing the thoughts of heaven, not choosing those thoughts of hell. And so I think it'll probably be a pretty good song for us to listen to right now. Just waiting for the CD player to warm up. Okay, and I'm going to turn the volume up so that you guys can actually hear the song when I play it. All right, here we go. I Choose Heaven.
trail of tears when I'm stuck in confusion. Drowning in my fears when it seems I'm on a desert with no water in sight. It's then I take a moment and ask for God's light. Holy Spirit, look at this with me.
Yeah.
Ah, she did a great job. It was a great song, and she took up exactly the amount of time we needed her to take us to the top of the hour. So that's it for me tonight, and I will be back on Wednesday morning for Awakenings, so hopefully I'll see some of y'all then. Bye.